I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Oh, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Well, good evening then.
And I hate to say it, but good night.
And how about...
What's going on?
Linden Boulevard, yo. represent. Tribe Called Quest, represent. When the mic is in my hand, I'm never hesitant. My favorite jam back in the day was Eric B. for President. Rude boy composer, step to me, you're over. Brothers wanna flex,
get this not bad Cobra. 93.
MC short and black, there ain't no other. Trini boy, bad like me, your long grandmother.
What, back in the day?
Eric, he said his jam from back in the day was
my
Eric
jam back
B.
in the day was Eric B. for
which
President.
Which is what, 86, 87?
Yeah. So 7 years ago.
So in 93, Eric B. for President is old school.
He was saying back in the day then. And now,
right.
If you said my joint back in the day 7 years ago was a joint in 2015. It was like Drake's third album.
Right. That's
and by
crazy.
The way, and Fife was that young where someone that age would refer to that as back in the day. Because Fife back then was what, 22?
In 93?
Yeah. Maybe not even.
Maybe, yeah.
20?
When they did the first... Wait, that's the third album, though, right?
Third album in 93.
No, they were probably 25. No.
Yeah, yeah. Because Q-Tip's in his early 50s now. So
18, 19, when they did their first album, which was like 90.
I think no matter how you cut it, it was...
Yeah, it's 22 to 24, and that's it, yeah.
And also, no matter how you cut it, guess what?
But how do you, years ago. How are we saying they were kids?
Ago.
Remember when you turned 22, you were like, yo, nobody better call me a kid no more. Now we're like, these fucking kids.
I say kids about people in their 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit, I was just about to tell you something.
What really?
Were you saying before that?
What happened
are
to
we
you
live?
Saying, yeah, we're live. What happened to you saying... That you, like, there was someone you wanted to get on the podcast that I was going to be excited about, that you connected with.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. Every weekend has been literally a problem.
But you've been trying.
Oh, I know what I was about to say. Yes, I've been trying, and he's with it. It's just West Coast time, so it's like,
West
hey, what's
Coast
up, rare
time.
Female patron?
Mmm, Soira.
What's going on, Soira? Hey,
yo, that
shout
last
out
name.
To Mark Ronson.
Soira's
shout out
last
to Mark
names.
Ronson. Will you shut up?
Sorry.
Shout out to Mark Ronson throwing out his garbage right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shout out to Mark Ronson throwing out his garbage. Throwing his shit in the bin.
This iteration, for some reason, do you remember if Mark Ronson was ever a Juan Epp fan prior to this iteration?
Not that I know of.
We had him on though before, right?
Before this iteration?
Yeah. Did we have him on way back or no?
I don't remember.
Billy Jean,
I did a lot of drugs back then. So
yeah, Billy
Jean,
will you look that up? I don't even know.
I did mad drugs back then.
But shouts to Mark Ronson and his garbage. Do you like how quickly, Syfe, I tried to get him to do something for us when he complimented
right
us?
Away. Yo, Mark Ronson, Mark Ronson hit us up and was like, yo, I love the podcast. He told us a story of how he grabs his garbage from his house, drives down his driveway to throw it out. He gets so caught up in listening to Juan Epp and laughing, he forgets to throw out his garbage that it's just sitting in his car. And I said, how fucking long is your driveway, B?
And I said,
this guy has a manor. He has a manor somewhere in England.
Syfe naturally goes, wow, that sounds like a long driveway. I naturally go, hey, you like the podcast? Feels like you should produce us and bring us to Apple or something. What's up? Because you're famous and important. Speaking of which.
Hey, can we be part of your Super Bowl halftime show one day?
Exactly.
Yo, first of all, so if y'all just listening to us, thank you. We appreciate it. Now, if you're watching the video, my friend Ian Lara just joined
us.
Ian Lara, very funny comedian out of New York City. I've never seen him with these sunglasses.
Hollywood.
Like, what's happening right now? What's
I'm trying to be cool, Syfe. This is a big opportunity for me, this podcast I'm doing. And I'm trying to be cool.
I don't know if you listen to this generation. Show, but this is more of an anti-sunglass podcast.
Yeah, we're not cool.
I'll take it all.
No, fine.
I like that y'all introduced me because we ain't talk about what was going to happen.
I didn't even know if it was happening.
I didn't say nothing. So part of me was thinking, right? Part of me was thinking that y'all just bring me on to be audience to just laugh at the shit.
Here's what happened to you. What happened to you is you got caught up in the Billy June vortex where he just decided to just throw you in.
No, I did. That was me. I threw him in. I can't let. I want to blame Billy June. Billy June, but yeah, I threw him in. Now, could you hear us before I threw you in, Ian? Okay, so I shouldn't have thrown you in that early. But it was fun to just watch you awkwardly sit there also. So it worked out in the long run.
Yeah, I was like, I'm laughing at this shit. Y'all shouting out y'all listeners. And I'm like, yeah, I know him from England. He's funny. I'm trying to like be part of it.
Syfe, why is this the week that Ian Lara is on the show?
Well, first of all, Ian Lara is a great guy. I should have had him on the show regardless.
Years ago.
Have great people on the show all the time. But for marketing purposes and promotional purposes, my friend Ian Lara here has something coming out on Comedy Central this week.
Ooh.
Well, explain what's going on.
Yeah. Thursday on February 10th, my Comedy Central half-hour special comes out, and they're streaming it for free on YouTube, so you don't have to go behind a paywall.
Yo, isn't it so crazy, Ian, that for you, you finally got a TV special? And we live in an era now where the really good news was that you can tell people it'll stream on YouTube.
Right.
I know. That's crazy. Honestly, that's the only reason I accepted it. When they was like, we're going to put it on YouTube for free.
Because if you're making it where people need to have cable, then people aren't going to see it.
No. People can't. They're not looking for you. They're not. If it's not on YouTube, they could just
It's so interesting.
Bro, to get, no offense, congratulations. I don't want to sit here and bash Comedy Central, but like to find some of the Comedy Central specials, like Jessica Kirsten, Roy Wood Jr., some of these comedians that.
No, you need to jailbreak your phone and download seven apps to get to the.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. It's totally changed your guys' world. Where like,
crazy.
The goal for being the dream. Now, let me ask you guys. You're both comedians. Would you still say, though, that, like, the HBO special still stands out there as, like, something that everybody would really, really want? Or have all TV specials lost a little bit of the luster?
That's a good question.
Well, I'm filming a HBO one in April, so I still think that's the way. That's a cool thing to do, and
there
I still
go.
Think it's dope.
Congrats.
And the plan is to just keep doing it, and your people will find you. Now it's not like I don't think you could break on a thing like before. You could break on like I did the Tonight Show 2 years ago. Before if you did the Tonight Show in the 80s and you had a good set, you could become a household name. Now you're not gonna break off nothing. You gotta just keep doing it, keep like cutting at the iceberg.
But like,
keep,
and people we're not, will find you. Like two parts to that same question he's asking. No, it does not have the same effect of we know those big ones that we had back in the day that were like classics, right?
For sure.
You know, like a George Carlin way back in the day, right? Or
the Chris Rock ones.
Yeah.
Or the Chris Rock.
Right, exactly.
HBO specials.
Those just were new. That was like new medium back then. So it was like crazy how well those did because they were like world premieres and shit. Now.
Yeah, it was an event.
The game now is so flooded that no, none of them have the impact like anything back in the day. Like it's just like music and everything else dropping. It's all.
Right. I compare it to
music. It's all fractured.
Yeah. I compare it. Like nobody cares about it. You gotta do hits,
but here's the thing, though.
You do the hits, and
that doesn't take. That doesn't mean we can't. We gotta do it, like because nobody's gonna discover you if you don't do it,
right?
Somebody might discover you when you do it,
right?
Is it every right. single person in the country focused on that one event? No, nothing's like that anymore. Nothing at all, but. We know some guys that put out something and it's done very well for them, and we also know some guys who put out something and it seems like they put out nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, right. You know, you want to put your hat in, you want to put your name in the hat and be in the game, you got to do it. So this kid here, who's a little piece of shit. This guy Ian Lara.
Really?
Because, yeah.
Why?
He's doing everything that I wish I did.
Right. He's living your dreams.
Which I did do. I did it in rap, everything he's doing. But now he's a young, fly dude. You know what I mean? He got the fresh hair. I've never seen him without a fresh haircut. Like, I've never.
Really? Clean cut all
over. I think he goes to the barber daily. You know what I mean? Like, I think, yeah. I think he brings the barber with him. And he cuts him in the car.
We don't talk enough about the people. We don't talk enough about the rare group of people who get their shit lined up too much.
Wait, how much? How often you go to the barber, Ian?
Probably like every 5-6 days.
that's clean. That's called every 5-6 days says I care about how I look and I'm gonna put in an effort.
And how far is the barber from where you live?
About. It's back where my parents live, so it's about like 20 minutes.
What neck of the woods are we talking about? How much is a haircut in Queens?
30
plus tip?
30 include it's 20.
Wow. So it costs you $30.
20 plus 10.
Yeah, but when I
show up. What's the parking situation?
Yeah, but when I show up, I got to be next. I got to be next.
Yeah, you're not waiting.
Now you have juice in that barbershop where you could be next.
Well, they had seen my stand up. They found out that I was a stand up, and they think that I'm somebody. I keep telling them I'm not, but they think
you're bigger than you are right now already.
Yeah, it's a Queens Hill barbershop. So I come through, they're like, "Oh, celebrity!" I'm like, "Celebrity? I got a YouTube."
This is an important, Sif, important question for Ian coming in from the commenters here.
Yeah, sorry. Oh.
Wait, did Ian ever DJ for Lil Kim?
Yeah, those are the prerequisites for Sif and myself.
To DJ or, for Lil
ever,
Kim?
Have you ever DJed for Lil Kim? It's a simple question.
Okay.
Okay.
No.
Separately.
Have you ever been divorced?
Wow. Who books that? Who books the Lil Kim DJ? I'd be willing to do that. No, I've never been divorced.
All right, well, listen, we could find space for you anyway.
I don't know how well you're going to do on this podcast.
The joke, Ian, Yeah, well, the joke, Ian, is that basically multiple times in every episode, Sife mentions DJing for Lil' Kim and I mentioned being divorced. It just is, it's like our, it's become our catchphrase.
I mention I DJ for Lil' Kim a lot of times because I'm referencing where I was in my life. So if I say, yo, when I DJed for Lil' Kim, you automatically know we talking about the late 90s. That's when I met.
Yeah, Sife just likes to bring up like the people that he knows in conversation when we're not even speaking about it. I'd be like, I like that Supreme jacket you got, and Sife would be like, yeah, because when I was DJing for the Locks, they loved Supreme. So I'm
like, so
it's not even I'm like, it's not even cool. Name drop. It's like
achievement it's drop.
Like, It's like name Jackhammer. It's like
right.
Yeah, I remember I was like, "How was your holiday, Sife?" And he was like, "Yeah, it was good." Because you know, I was the one that told Jay-Z about Rihanna.
Okay.
I was just trying to see how your day.
You're like, wait, that was this holiday? He's like, no, years ago, but still.
He's like, nah, 97.
I tell you why I fuck with Ian Lara because he knows me. You know what I mean, he knows who I am. He knows what I'm about. He's one of the guys that knows who Cypher Sounds is in the comedy club. But all these other little white comics, I got to let them know what the fuck I did, man.
Nah, yeah, I know, actually, I know both of y'all. Like, it's crazy that I even, like, get to do this because I remember, like, listening to y'all back in the radio, like, when y'all had the morning show.
Well, how old are you, Ian?
And the fact
he's about to flex. He's about 31. To flex on us. I remember when 31. I was in junior high, I used to listen to you.
Wait, you're 31? You're 31? So, yeah, so you were like 18 when we got on. Something like the 18, 17?
Yeah. Yeah. And Sife, like, I found out about during the morning show, but I knew Sife from the radio, from, you know, Sife Sounds, Don't Get Gassed. So to hear him constantly run off his accomplishments to me every time we hang out, it means a lot.
Well, you know why, Sife, you know why I like Ian off the bat? Because he has the first name of, like, a Jewish man, and he has the last name of a Jewish woman.
I know how to make it.
You really did. You didn't just go with one. So let me get both.
No, this is.
You're like if Whoopi Goldberg's name was just Goldberg.
That was taken. That's my manager.
Exactly. Yo. By the way, Sife, Sife, did you see how much of a kick I was on this week about the Whoopi Goldberg situation? I was very angry.
I kept seeing clips and with. It's saying Whoopi Goldberg, but I didn't get to watch any of them. But why were you on the kid? What is she actually? Wait, hold on, real quick. What is it? February? When does it come out?
Special?
February 10th. Yeah.
February 10th. Listen. So Lara, February 10th. Follow him.
Comedy Central, and they can find on the Comedy Central YouTube.
Yeah, it'll be on the Comedy Central. It'll be on the app and the Comedy Central. YouTube.
And how do people find you?
I'm at Ian Lara Live on Instagram.
Ian Lara my website. Live.
Yeah.
She's
live. And it's called Growing Pain. That's the title.
Growing Pain?
Growing Shame. Is a play on Growing Pain. Mm.
Why is it called that?
It's a play on Growing Pain.
He's an emo that's rapper. This is
I'm the Drake.
It's the comedy juice world.
I watched some clips. I didn't get Juice WRLD from you. You seemed a regular guy.
He's
yeah, I'm not.
I'm trying to man.
You always say I'm the lover boy. That's what Sife say.
Lover boy. I'm trying to manage Ian, man. I'm gonna fix his career up, man. I'm gonna help him out.
It sounds like Sife, I'm gonna be honest. It sounds like he's doing all right.
No, I'm gonna tell him everything. Do what I did, and we're gonna pop off, baby.
Right. Skip these things.
Sife told me he was gonna help me get verified on Instagram, and he told me he sent it up the ladder to some very high people. So my agent was like, "Hey, do you want help?" I was like, "Sife is on it because Sife is connected. He's connected. He got the hookups. I don't need y'all help."
I used to.
And then like 2 days later, Sife came back. He was like, "Nah, I couldn't do it. They said you're not." I'm like, "Sife, I could have done this myself. You told me you discovered Rihanna." And you can't give me a verification.
The connect I have a connect, and I go, she's done this for me for like 10 other people in the last 5 years.
That's not a connect.
And then she's done it for me for 10 other people, and then I go, hey, I need help with getting this guy verified. She goes, oh, they changed it. Instagram changed. So I was like, sorry, Ian.
Rosenberg, you got to connect. That's why I'm on this
to try to get verified.
I'm trying to get right. Yeah, I'm trying to get as much credit as I
it's
can.
It's funny, too, because now, I was
he looks at my blue check, and he goes, this nigga Syph wasn't even on the Tonight Show. How the fuck is he verified?
Yeah, exactly. And he's right. And he's right.
No, I'm like, this nigga DJ for Busta Rhymes in 94, and he got verified. I don't understand.
Yo, by the way.
I'm doing shit now.
Do you guys ever see, like, I so often see people, like, you get a comment from someone on Instagram. Sorry, it just got really bright in my room. And you're like, oh, who's this verified person that commented on my thing? And then you click on them.
That's what I want to be.
And yeah, you just want to be that random person that people go, who is this verified person?
Right.
That's
right.
All.
One time, Tahiri commented on one of my posts. I took a screenshot and framed it.
So, like, you mean like when Mac Miller Mac Miller framed when Jay-Z shouted him out. You did it when Tahiri commented.
Yeah, I took that from Tahiri.
On an Instagram post.
He's my Jay-Z. Wait, he's my Jay-Z.
What did Mac Miller frame?
Mac framed Jay-Z's tweet.
Oh, a tweet. Okay.
When Jay-Z was like shouting out black excellence and all, and then he was like, yeah, but Mac Miller's dope too.
Oh, that's dope.
And so dope. Mac had that frame. That's like your Tahiri comment.
Yeah, I was bragging about it to like my brothers and my cousins more than I bragged about the Tonight Show.
Yo,
I was like, look, I'm
he's telling his Dominican.
And it was like a very normal comment. It was like applause hands. Like it wasn't even anything. But my family, like people be going so, like my family was like, yo, DM her. Like, see what's good. I'm like, she put clapping hands. They're like, yo, you should get on that. Like, what?
That's enough. When someone gives you clapping hands, that's enough. That's enough. Yeah. All right, Syph.
What happened with Whoopi Goldberg?
Is that what your question was going to be?
Yeah.
Did you see, Ian, did you see the Whoopi thing?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I did.
So
I saw a piece of it. She said the Holocaust wasn't about race or something.
Correct.
Is that what she said?
Okay. So she said the Holocaust wasn't about race. And she said it after watching a couple times, because I realized, like, she said it pretty adamantly. I actually related to her. I related to the biggest mistake that she made, because she didn't say anything offensive. But Syph, it's something you've seen me get in trouble for. She said
the camera off. We about to get got.
She
right, I know. I got to try. This is why y'all brought me up here, so I can get my special pulled down on YouTube.
Okay, go ahead.
So she did something, though, that I've had to learn not to do over time. She spoke too confidently about something that's not her thing. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
She wasn't offensive.
I've learned that lesson many times.
I've learned it many times. I used to just get on the radio and be like, yo, black people blank. And enough people were like, hey.
But black people do blank, though.
Black people do be blanking. And
black people be blanking. That's a feeling.
And at some point I learned, like, oh, people who don't know you are not comfortable with you just saying something really confidently about their experience. Like, that's just not an appropriate tone. So I think that was the biggest mistake. But then I had no problem with what she said. But then Syph, she got suspended for 2 weeks. Right. So like she went on Colbert and explained. She had like a long conversation with him with a lot of nuance about the subject, like handled it pretty responsibly. I thought she did as much as she could. And then they announced she's suspended for 2 weeks and she's reportedly really angry about it. And I was just like, yo, and I don't expect you guys to comment on this too much, but you can relate in your own way. I don't know why my group does these things that they think is helpful, but only fosters more anti-Semitism. Like, you making Whoopi Goldberg, who everyone knows is a good person and who's been cool forever, you making her, like, get down and submit, that does a lot more harm than what she actually said.
Yeah, it's a flex, right?
It's a flex. Like when Nick Cannon, which, by the way, Nick Cannon, what he did was way dumber than Whoopi. Nick Cannon re-released an interview with fucking Professor Griff. Like, that's like begging to be canceled, okay? Yeah, he was begging for it. And they flexed on him. And then you remember Nick looked like he was damn near about to convert to Judaism. He was hanging out with rabbis. He was learning Hebrew. He did everything. Yeah. But like,
yeah, he got circumcised. He did everything you had to do. I don't understand.
He was like, I'll impregnate everyone. They're like, you don't have to. He was like, right. I will.
Right. I don't understand. Back to like your main point. How do people say anything confidently? Like, nothing I say is confidently said. Like, everything I said is up for debate. I have no strong opinions on anything. Like, sometimes people hit me up like, yo, but you said this. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just saying shit. I don't know. Like,
I say, Rosenberg knows when I used to be on the radio with him, my thing was always like, this is how I feel. You know what I mean? Like, not this is the way it is. Like,
right.
I don't like, I always talk about not celebrating holidays and Christmas, and everybody would go against me for that. I'd be like, this is how I feel. This is what I believe. I'm not knocking you. I'm also not, I'm not trying to get you not to celebrate Christmas. I'm not trying to take Christmas away from you. I just don't celebrate it. Same with sports. I don't really watch sports. I don't like sports. And everybody'd be like, but how could you,
right.
You know, well, what's the difference between sports and movies? The difference to me is I like movies, right. And I don't, right. Like sports.
Right.
Yo, but you know, that's crazy about the sports thing. Cause you know, when we was doing the show, we had one of the biggest superstars in the NFL.
Oh my sitting God. Bro, front row, yeah.
And we was messing, bro. With him the whole time. And,
bro, we did a show and there was like maybe 30 people there. Cause like during the Christmas holiday, the cellar was like,
wait, when was this?
Empty, bro.
Okay,
like
okay.
Like 3 weeks ago, maybe. Like,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, like.
And what football player was there?
Miles Garrett.
Okay, yeah. Oh, my God. And did you talk about his shit?
No, we didn't know it was him until after.
No. Yeah, I didn't. Because he was, like, on the second row. I didn't know. But everybody in the audience knew, and they thought was, like, yeah, and they thought we was, like, being, like, funny about it by not bringing it up.
Oh, the audience knew?
Yeah, because the audience had hit me up. Like, yo, did y'all know who that was?
How did the audience hit you up?
We lost Rosenberg.
Yes, all right. He can hear us.
He's like, yeah, I'm done with this.
How did the
audience
hit you up?
Wait, did you guys at the end afterwards look up who he was and get his story?
No, I knew who he was like mid-show.
Okay, got it. And you know his story, though?
No.
Like the jokes that could be made? I mean, he's the story that happened in the NFL with Miles Garrett, besides the fact that he's a great player, was that he took off his helmet and beat another player in the head with it, and then the story came out that people said it was a white player who said the N-word to him.
You know
what I'm
funny?
Saying is y'all missed an entire comedy routine right in front of you and didn't even know.
No, let me tell you something.
Remember how aggressive he was being with the white people, bro, who kept like talking to him?
Bro, there was that's why I didn't fuck with him. That's why I didn't fuck with him during the show, because
mad quick.
In the early part of the show, me and Ian were hosting together. We were doing, I think it was a Mint show, right? It was like a live stream show.
Yeah.
So we're hosting together. I always host it and I always have a co-host. And there was these three white guys and they were from the South, maybe, right? They was from somewhere. We was fucking with them. And then we spoke to him. And they kind of said something to him or his girl, and he got aggressive. He's like, yo, what'd you say? What'd you say? Say that shit again or something.
When the white guy, he got mad. We was like, easy.
And I was like, oh, I'm not talking to this guy anymore because he's ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's funny that you now mention that because I saw it. Like, I read the room, and I was like, oh, this guy might be a little problem, because he got really aggressive with these guys at a comedy show. Like,
he got, and I was like, yo, stay over
really
there. Like, stay over there.
Yeah.
Shit, I wish you would have beat me with a helmet. That would help my career. I might have been doing Rogan right now.
Hold on. I want to see if I could show it to you guys. If you've never seen this before. This shit is, it was, it when it
he
happened.
Got a white girlfriend.
He got a white girlfriend.
Hold on. All right.
I wonder if he ever tells her, yo, stay over there. Wait, so how did the audience members hit you up?
I got two DMs. They was like, yo, y'all knew that was Miles Garrett, right? And y'all was just not trying to blow up the spot.
On the people that were in the show or on that saw it on the stream?
The people that was in the show, they was in the room.
I never get DMs, man, because my stupid fucking name. I hate my name.
Wait, no, what do you mean you never get DMs because of your name?
Nobody even know. Nobody knows my name. It's hard. My name is ridiculous.
Change it to Discover Rihanna.
Yeah, I discovered Rihanna.
DJ.
Little Kim's DJ.
Where's the beating?
I'm pretty sure they'll show a replay here. Hold on.
Which one is he?
You're going to know. You're going to know because they're going to show. Here we go. Oh, there it is.
Which one is he? That one? Who is he?
You'll see. Keep watching. Just keep watching. So the guy's on the ground. There's a tussle back and forth. And then he takes his helmet off. And wow! You see that?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, he took the guy. He hit him with his own helmet.
His own helmet. I forgot it was his own helmet.
That's Ben. That's
and,
Ben.
The white guy's helmet is a white guy's helmet.
So the white guy, Rudolph's trying to go up his helmet. Then he grabs onto his helmet, yanks it off of his head.
Okay.
And now watch this.
Got it. And then
bam,
whap.
But bro, by the way, it was a legit miracle. It was a legit miracle that that dude's head was not busted, split in two on national television.
Was that Ben Roethlisberger? I think that was Ben Roethlisberger.
No, Roethlisberger was out. It was Rudolph. It was his backup playing.
Yeah, he would have lost his career. That was crazy.
Yeah, and he turned out fine. He ended up getting he got suspended for like 8 games, but he's so good. He got a new contract for a ton of money. He's fine.
Yeah,
but
he's
like,
the best, like,
if that
player, like in the NFL.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But you realize, Saif, have you ever touched an NFL helmet? Like, that hitting you in the head the wrong way would be awful. How do we get here?
Is it any different than people bashing you with their helmets every play?
Yeah, because you're wearing a helmet.
You're swinging it.
Your own helmet is bashing into your own head.
Yeah, well, you have padding on the inside of your helmet.
I like the Washington Commandos. That's my favorite team.
Commanders.
As I said.
The Commanders.
Washington Commandos.
Yeah, by the way, this so all week
all, people, all the Washington members, all the Washington football team, they go out with no underwear.
By the way, so everyone's coming at me going,
"That's your team."
I ran into I'm a Washington fan, so
yeah,
I ran into a guy last week, and he goes, he's a camera guy at WWE, and he comes up to me and he's like, "Yo, man, you hearing about this name thing?" I was like, "Yeah, sounds like Commanders." He was like, "Yo, man, we're red and yellow. They're going to call us the Commies, man.
The Commies.
They're going to call us the Commies." I was like, bro, what year is this? Like, are you really worried about that? Like, it's not 1980. Well, who gives a fuck if they call us the Commies? Listen, I don't particularly love the name, but I don't give a fuck.
But honestly, all names are whack.
They're all whack.
They're not all whack.
They're just... But when you get pride in something, the name becomes... dope because it's your team, but like
Giants, that's a dope name.
Giants is cool. The Jets,
but think about Giants if it had no association and it was just suggested by someone, it might sound fucking stupid.
Yeah,
Giants,
all the names
like
sound
it just
stupid.
It's like without the history, like think about it like this, think about how much like a name's history matters, that the name Redskins didn't make us even bat an eye
because it was so built into something else. So much pride. Steelers is dope.
Steelers is cool.
Steelers is pretty dope.
Steelers is dope because it represents that town.
But think about how basic that is. Patriots, oh, there's steel in this town. What do you say?
Patriots not bad.
Patriots is dope. New England Patriots.
Although I don't like the Patriots logo or color scheme. You want to know bad? How about the Cleveland Browns with just a their color is just shit brown with an orange helmet with nothing on it.
That's not good. The Browns is not good.
the Browns
is not good at all.
They should have been called the Saints.
Just named after a person.
The Cleveland Shit.
New Orleans Saints.
The Cleveland Shit. That's exactly right.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yo, bro, it was a bad.
And I'm a Giants fan, but the Cowboys, that's a cool name. You from Dallas? That's easy.
Cowboys is good.
I'm a Giants
fan. I mean, they people like it.
That's easy.
But what does Commanders mean?
Like a general, right?
My assumption is that it's a play on commander in chief because it's Washington, like the Senators.
Right.
That's how I'm taking it.
I thought it was like the general, like a commander.
Well, I think it's that also, but I don't fuck with.
Well, that's what,
you know,
commander in chief also is kind of. The
it's
same
kind
thing
of that too.
I like it. It's fine. Who cares?
It's fine. It's totally fine. Right.
If they like, win, I have, everyone's going to be fine with it. Commies. Commies.
Commies. Exactly. I'm here for... By the way, my grandparents were communists, so this isn't even offensive to me. I'm happy to be called the commies. There are worse things to be called.
You say your grandparents were communists?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of Jews were communists.
Yeah, and the crazy part is, Ian, is that my grandfather was a communist, and his name was Julius Rosenberg.
He's not going to know what that means.
And Julius Rosenberg was the most...
You think... Hold on.
I was going to tell him, Sif. I wasn't expecting him to know it. He's 31, okay? And he's not a dork. Fucking,
you think a Dominican from Queens whose favorite artist is Drake is going to know who Julius Rosenberg is?
First of all, Drake is a hell of an artist. Drake is a hell of an artist. What's your opinion on Julius hell of an Rosenberg? Because that's why I came here. I need to clear something up.
You want a Drake talk?
Why does he get so?
I have such complicated
feelings.
First,
say who Julius Rosenberg is.
Sorry, Julius Rosenberg was like the most famous. He was a communist spy who was executed by the U.S. eventually.
You think I didn't know that, Rosenberg?
Like World War, like World
I thought
War
you did. Sif was the one who said.
Yeah, you think I didn't know that, Sif?
I didn't think you knew that, no.
Wait, hold on. Where in Queens are you from?
I'm from Southside. I'm from South Ozone Park, South Jamaica area.
Wait, South Ozone Park is that close to Jamaica?
I'm in South Ozone Park, so it's right by Jamaica.
I was just watching The Sopranos, Sif, where they kill the little guy in Ozone Park.
That's right by Howie Beach.
Yeah, they had to. You remember it?
Yeah.
I didn't really know who he was either. The little guy in Ozone Park, he was one of the New York people, but like I didn't really understand. It kind of popped up out of nowhere, season 7 style, when you're like, what's happening here? Why? Yeah.
That neighborhood was real like mob thing. It's like where Goodfellas was around there too.
That's where John Gotti lived. I lived 5 minutes. John Gotti lived in that area.
You could feel it too? Like you can feel the vibe?
Yeah, there's a by my house in my neighborhood, there's a restaurant, it's called Don Pepe's. I don't know if y'all know Don Pepe, but they had a big run on Entourage in the last season. Entourage was a big thing about Don Pepe. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a mob hangout, but you drive past there on a Sunday, it's a lot. It looked like they were shooting a scene from Goodfellas. The suits are from the 80s.
And Howard Beach.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Howard Beach is where the shit happened with
what's his face?
Yusef Hawkins.
Yusef Hawkins was Howard Beach. Yeah.
That was.
New York, the land of random places where you can come up on some scary shit that you're not even remotely thinking about, especially in Brooklyn. Queens too, but in Brooklyn it's like neighborhood to neighborhood. There's a different ethnic group in each neighborhood you don't want
to
fuck with.
Block to block. Born in East New York.
Oh, here don't fuck with the Russians here.
Yeah, I was born in East New York. I moved to Queens when I was 11.
Here's why I respect New York though. They'll give you a warning shot. Fuck you doing over here? That means leave. You get the warning. They give you the warning. Whatever slang, language, or tone that ethnic group has, they will give you that warning. Fuck you doing over here? I'm out of here. Thank you. Sorry.
What I'm doing is leaving.
Yeah,
that's
how most people are like. I do whatever the fuck I want. Bap bap boop bap.
That's why I think that's why I ended up on the Upper West Side. I wanted to go to a place where I just knew no one was going to accuse me of not being supposed to be here.
No, yeah, you're supposed to be there. Yeah, either living or collecting rent.
I'm supposed to be here. But now I'm looking at new apartments now, and so now I'm accepting that I could end up moving. And it's very weird in New York when you start looking at places and realizing, like, I might go to a totally different part of town that I don't have any real connection to.
That's how New York is.
You know, but like...
What connection? What do you need?
I know. That's the thing. You're talking about it being, what, 30 blocks away? Like, if you... For example, if I were to move from here to Gramercy, right? That, to me, seems like
different.
A big move.
That's different. Yeah, that's... You go... Up and down where you live is fine. You start going cross town,
woo!
You're in another world, B.
And then think about it like this. If you live in the suburbs, Think about how close a move the distance of the Upper West Side to Gramercy would be. Like, yeah, you're moving 10 seconds.
On a
you know?
Map, on a map, it looks like nothing.
Nothing. But to me, it's like,
in New York,
I need
that's
to...
that's a move.
And for me, after Ian, you know, after years in New York, you know, I had Syfe to... Syfe was the person who sort of taught me how to keep my eyes open, keep my head on a swivel, and be aware of my surroundings more. Like, especially as I was becoming a notable, a person of note of some sort, right?
Yeah.
And so I will say that moving to an entirely new neighborhood would mess up my... I'd have to then reset on my, am I comfortable? At what times am I comfortable in what places? Like, I'm comfortable in my neighborhood at any time. That's the thing. Like, it's basically an any time. If I need to run out at 2 a.m., no matter what, I feel like I'm good. And then you just have to figure that out, depending where you are. What places you should be.
Which corner store?
Which barbershop?
Because, like, sometimes you live by a train. You live between 23rd and 14th, and it's kind of equal distance which one you go to. So you're like, do I walk down to 14th? Nah, not at this time. School just got out. I'm going to walk up to 23rd.
Rosenberg, can I ask you a question? Yeah. You ever had a rapper, like, press you over something you said on the radio?
What?
Really?
Yes.
Wait, do you use... Was the verb you used press?
That's New York,
Have I? Syfe, would you go as far as saying I was ever pressed? I wouldn't say I was pressed. I've been talked to.
Like, yo, what was that about? Like, yo, like they saw you, was like, yo.
Oh, I've had plenty of like.
I wouldn't call that pressed though.
But I haven't, saying. Like, people have gotten pressed. Like, DJs, you know, in strip clubs have gotten pressed. Like, I've had people get angry and talk to me. Or, you know, afterwards, I've gotten after, yo, I wanted to fuck you up. That was what I got recently.
How do you play it? Do you use, like, the Jewish card? Like, oh, I don't know. I'm just here.
Hey, what did I do?
I don't know anything.
No.
Rosenberg talks a lot of shit up front, but he will hear you out.
Yeah, so I don't, but I also don't do the, Like Charlemagne has backed out of a lot of beef of going, I'm the radio guy. I don't think you can do that. Like, the point, you're a man, and you're saying things about another man or woman. Like, you have to own what you say.
Right.
I tried.
It's not just entertainment.
What I will say is, did I really say something to disrespect you? Or what was I talking about music? And if it's something like Drake, I've come out of my mouth sideways about Drake before. That's definitely happened, and we've had some... And you shouldn't. And I don't think he would either anymore. I feel bad. Syfe, I talked really loose about Drake. Do you remember that time for no reason? He started shit with Meek Mill. This is, I think, before their original big beef. There was something about him and Meek Mill. And I just jumped out on Twitter and was like, Drake is softer than the kids I went to Hebrew school with.
Yeah.
Like, why?
But that's the same. I mean, if Drake pressed you, you feel confident. I said it.
I wouldn't go that far either.
Yeah. Like,
well, you know how many people
like,
can
hit
behind
you?
Him? Somebody's
Yeah, Drake has
you.
A lot of people.
Somebody's
Drake has
you.
A lot of people.
Yeah, but I know I've seen him. He honestly moved like the president. Like when it's like 6-7 SUVs and security. So
I'll tell you this story.
Listen, you talk shit about Drake, you could be in Drake's face and nothing might happen.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Chubbs is on top of you and you're like, why am I inches from death?
Right. So there was a night, this is actually pretty funny in retrospect. There was a night after I had said crazy shit about Drake, we'd had a back and forth about different things, and we ended up running into each other in L.A. and ended up, it was Laura Stiles' birthday, actually. And we started hanging out. And we had some back and forth, like jokingly about like, what the fuck, man? Blah, 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 blah. Sort of played the same game. But yeah, just sort of the same shit we always have done, which is him sort of like, man, why you talk shit? And me being like, why don't you do this? And blah, 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 blah. And there's sort of this weird familial, you know, Jewish connection in hip hop that I've always felt with him that's actually feels real. So we have like this. Oh, you have to. Well, I have to. But it's real. But it is real. It is because here's the part you have to understand about Drake. Like, Drake is very much, like, as a human, he is very much a black dude and very much a Jewish dude. Like, it is in him. It is not, it's not like he also says he's Jewish. Yeah. When you're raised by a Jewish mother, like, he is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's who he is. Yeah. So, like, there is a real connection there, right? So we end up having a really good time. Who else was hanging out? French Montana and KD, Kevin Durant, and someone else who was another artist who I'm friendly with. I'm sorry?
Was Chamillionaire there?
No, and it was in LA, it wasn't in Brooklyn. Anyways, we were there for a while hanging out, and we were having a really good time. And I was drinking a good amount for my standard of drinking, and at one point, Drake and French had to go somewhere, and both made a point to tell me, like, yo, don't leave, hang out, don't leave. And I was like, no doubt, no doubt. They're like, don't leave. And I was like, okay. And they left, and I left. We had had a great time, but I was like, why does he want me to stay around? I've said dumb shit in the past. I should go. Sife, that was you in my head. I had little Sife of Sounds going, yo, bro, how long they really want to hang out with you? Why don't you just go home?
And you know you took a couple, you had a couple drinks.
Yeah, I've had a couple drinks. I'm not the clearest I could be. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm having a great time, but I'm getting an Uber and I'm leaving. And that's what I did. Last time I saw him, ran out.
That's nice. Man, sometimes like, I wish I was gangster.
Go ahead.
You ever wish
example.
You was gangster?
Why?
I like watching like the Vlad interviews of like gangsters talking crazy. Like I'm like, that's lit.
It's the after effects that's not good. That's why I don't like it.
Uno, shots to cast one. Yeah, the after effects are. Yeah, I couldn't.
What do you mean,
bro? I've been finishing this run of Sopranos for the third time. It's so crazy. These characters that like you like and are fond of and do shit that are so absolutely ridiculously gangster. Like when they find out Vito is gay,
yeah,
and they're all instantly going to murder.
Oh yeah, yeah, he got to run. Yeah, but I feel like that's organized crime. That's a different type of gangster. Like I feel like I could be that if in another world. But I'm talking a gangster where like. You walk into a room, Rosenberg, you brought my name up in the radio, I'm beelining straight to you and it's on site. And I don't do a like old Tupac stories. Like he show up, he see the dude across the room, pistol whip him in the club, and I'm out. That's it.
Yeah, you can be.
Why can't I be that way? Mm-mm. I don't have the heart for it, man. I don't want to hurt you.
Even your
I agree.
Be okay.
Who have you found out anybody that talks shit about you?
I mean, in the comedy thing, I'll press any comedian, yeah, because this is not the same. It's not the same world.
You?
Yeah, I'll press a comedian,
but
I ain't pressing a rapper.
You're super
cool. Nah, but I'm a cool dude. I don't really bro, mess with anybody. You know?
Yeah, wait a second. He's willing to press someone.
Who's talking about me? Who?
Man. Say it. Nah, I never heard nobody talk about you.
Say his name, Sire.
Lara. No, everybody loves you.
But have you... But, Sife, what about you? You ever, Sife, you've beelined to someone before and said, yo, what the fuck, haven't you?
Not like that. It's more inquisitive. It's not threatening.
Oh, I seen Chris Rock press somebody.
Really?
I saw that. Yeah, I seen Chris Rock.
Straight up. Like, oh, what was that about?
No, we can't tell. We can't tell that story.
Yeah, I don't know if we can tell that story, but
we can't tell that. But he's
but the other time is at the cellar.
You talking about the cellar?
I seen Chris Rock do some. He did some street shit.
That one, he was around
okay,
the block.
The one you talking about?
He was around the block.
He
saw him on the TV.
Yeah,
saw him on the TV and was like, "Hold on." Got up, went around the block, and waited.
Chris Rock pressed Kobe on live TV. He did
pretty gangster.
What is he? Was that in a special?
I can't say.
Nah,
I can't say
him.
Exactly what happened because I don't want a seller lawsuit or anything. But there was a fan, not a fan, a person who was at the show, did something. Me and Chris were talking, and some fan did something, and Chris reacted in a way that shocked the shit out of me. And I was like, oh, this nigga is from Brooklyn. Like, don't.
Yeah, yeah. You know who really about it? You know who's really about it? Because some people, you see a lot of comedians on stage, they'll just go off on an audience member. And I'm like, yo, what if that audience member wanted to fight you? And they was like, I don't know. I would get security. But you know who's really about it? Godfrey. Like I've seen Godfrey be like, nah, like, I'm going to do this set, and after, come speak to me outside.
That's a good question. Who is a comedian? Any other comedians who you would absolutely not F with?
Sherrod will get it in. Sherrod Small.
What?
Sherrod Small.
Oh, Sherrod get it in. Yeah. Sherrod get it in.
By the way, Sherrod.
He's the nicest guy.
Sherrod getting it into me. My guess is, I'm guessing. Tell me. He's not, it's not gangster. It's more like, he reminds me, Sherrod is so Jewish to me. That's almost like an angry, it's almost like me getting it in. Like, he just can't control himself.
It's not gangster, but it's no fear. It's no fear.
I had a comedian tell me that Sherrod, I had a comedian tell me Sherrod grabbed him by the collar and picked him off his
Come
feet,
on.
Pinned him against the wall.
No, I see. If we're at the, you know, me and Ian, we at the Comedy Cellar almost every night. You know, random shit happens all the time. Right. There's certain people you'd be like, if some shit was to go down, I would want someone to have my back. You know what I mean? Sherrod would be one. Sherrod will go outside quick. He'll go outside fast.
He'd be on the list of people.
Yeah.
One time, I was going to get jumped one time. And I'll be honest, I was going to get jumped. Yeah, at the comedy club. And I was with it. Like, I wasn't, I was like, all right, I'm going to just take this ass whooping. But everybody who see me, they're going to think I'm a G because I'm standing here. I'm not going nowhere. And the person who held me was Big J. Like, Big J pulled up. And I ain't even know him like that.
In Queens.
This was at the standing room.
The stand used to own another club in Queens.
One of my boys was on stage.
And what happened?
Yeah, one of my boys was on stage, and there was a group of dudes heckling them, like Mexicans dudes, like that was heckling them, like young dudes or whatever. So they went back and forth. Like, my boy was shutting them down. They went back and forth, and then the club came and kicked them out because they was just going on. It was like five of them. The club came and kicked them out. So as they were leaving out, my boy had got off stage. So my boy was standing out. So when they was walking out, like they was like pointing. Yeah. They was like talking to my boy, like on stage, like yelling at him. And I was standing right there, and I was like, dude, like, just get out. Like, you got kicked out, bro. Like, you're yelling in the thing, you got kicked out. And my boy went behind the bar, and they turned all that energy to me. All the animosity they had for him, they was like, we gonna get this one. So they came up to me, like, they had, like, their hand in my face, and I slapped their hand out their face, and they was, like, pushing me to the side, like, outside. You know, the standing room was this thing, pushing me outside. So when we got outside, like, when we got right to the door, it was, like, five of them surrounding me, and Big J walked in. Cause Big J heard like all the commotion, and he didn't even know what was going on. And you know, if you know Big J,
he got like
cut off gloves. Like, he dressed in black. He got fingerless gloves. He dressed in black. He got mad chains. So he looked like he down for whatever. So they thought he was the bouncer, but he came in and he was like, "Yo, like, what's going on?" And they thought he was the bouncer, and they just chilled after that and they left. And then right after that, Dante came. And when Dante showed up, I was like, "All right, now we can get it popping." Like, it's
Dante. Big J, yeah, Dante. I go to war with Dante. Sherrod, Godfrey.
For sure. Dante. And Dante not what he used to be because, you know, he got, like, the knee surgery.
Oh, Dante Nero? Which Dante?
You don't care.
Dante Nero. Dante Nero will pull
Dante
out that.
Dante Nero, yeah.
Well, Dante Nero, you also got to watch out. He'll jump up, Dante, start doing a male stripper move, slap you with his dick.
And fuck your girl. He'll fuck your girl right in front of you.
Yo, Dante told me that he's been knocked out like 200 times. Some crazy number like that.
Dante said he used to walk around.
Any nigga that's been knocked out that amount of time is with the shit.
He said they're not fearing nothing. An ice pick. He said that was his weapon of choice.
Yeah.
The ice pick.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Listen, ever. I would be scared.
Go ahead. I would be scared at the Cellar or a couple of these other comedy clubs to the point where I would think there's enough comedians around where they got my back and I don't really In that case, I wouldn't trust it. They don't be with the shits.
Comedians don't really be with it like that. Nah, security at the cellar be with it. They be look. They look like they want.
Well, so that's good security. Security's supposed to look like they want
to
fight.
They used to be in bars and nightclubs, and now they work at the cellar because they're a little older. Yeah, they haven't seen action in a while. Yeah, their biggest action is kicking out somebody who took pictures in the cellar. And they gotta go to your delete file and make sure they delete the picture.
Right.
Yo, I got into it once. We was in a somebody was acting up in the restaurant above the Comedy Cellar. It's called the Olive Tree. Somebody was getting loud, and the manager Val was arguing with the guy, and I ran over. But I got a fucking problem, man. I got a fuse. Like, the cellar is my home. So if there's ruckus in my home, I go right to it. And it's, like, not my business. But I go,
right.
So I go right to it. Yeah. So I run over there. And she ran away to go get the security. Because it was, like, a Tuesday. So it was, like, only one security guard on the weekdays or whatever. So she's like, Jason, Jason. So he has to come upstairs. So I run up on this guy. And then right behind me was Dave Attell. And Dave Attell put hands on the guy. He grabbed him. And I said, oh, shit, Dave Attell, bro.
Oh,
he grabbed him. Because I was just kind of like putting my forearm on his, you know, like pushing him in his chest. And Dave Attell grabbed his jacket. He was like, hey, get out of here, buddy. And like pushed him out.
Yeah, Dante told me that. We was having a talk, and he was talking about, like coming up. He was like that a lot of people won't admit it, but he was admitting that he's, like, actually scared to fight. He was like, I'm so scared to fight that if there's any type of altercation, I'll punch you in your face immediately because I'm scared of, like, what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I was like, man, that's a crazy mentality.
Have you ever had a fight? Hip-hop fights are the best. Have you ever had a fight?
I've never had a fight. There was a time in... in the somewhat recent past.
No, not that one.
But that was the only the situation which that you and I did not speak about.
But
this situation, Ian, was, without going into too much detail, I don't know what the statute of, I don't know, Saif, I don't know what I'm waiting for, like how long will be long enough to feel like good to talk about it.
I'll tell you right now, it's not long enough.
It's not yet.
No.
But yeah, it is interesting when the moment happens. Here's the thing that I think hip-hop has instilled in me, for better or for worse, is that I am incredibly nonviolent and believe that violence is ridiculous and will never think that that's the answer. Like, someone's drunk and being an asshole, I'm walking the other direction. Like, when I see something getting loose, I'm like, we walk away, right? Like, I'm that's me, always has, always will be. But the problem is, there's a flip side to when Even though the idea of being disrespected doesn't matter that much to me, there's sort of this idea that being disrespected publicly by someone, if you want to exist in hip hop, yo, Ian, I can tell.
It's tough. Yeah.
You're clearly very in tune with The Sopranos, so you'll appreciate this. I just saw the episode where after Tony gets out of the hospital, he decides to beat up the young security guard. And then he throws up in the bathroom.
Yeah, and he's like holding his chest.
Right, but then he smiles in the mirror at himself because he's like happy he could do it still, you know? Still got it.
There
is a weird part of hip-hop that hits you on some level that it's like, if someone were to really disrespect me crazy in front of people, I can't afford what happened to Charlamagne. I can't run on camera. I can't afford that. That would look fucking nuts. I cannot get chased down the street. Like, that, to me, that is like an insufferable loss I cannot take. Now, if it was someone truly scary,
if
you're going to get jumped straight up, you got to do it. But I have to avoid that at all costs. So you have to, like, judge the situation and say, like, is this something where I'm a punk if I walk away? Or is it just smart to walk away? And you have to weigh things out. Sometimes the competition matters, too. You got to view who is it that's talking shit.
Right, right. You got a crew? You got like a crew that you be with?
No. Yeah, you're looking at them.
You ain't got a crew?
I got a special coming out. I got to get a crew. Let me know if y'all got
a crew. Well, we could all come together. We could try right here. See.
What are we gonna do? We all gonna run together? I need somebody to set it off.
I used to have a guy with me all the time who would have been up, like Hip Hop Mike Syfe would have always been up for the scrap for me, for sure. But
man, I thought I had a crew. Yeah, Hip Hop Mike, he definitely would. He would.
But we haven't been hanging out that much these days, but he would definitely be down to scrap if he had to.
The first time I really encountered somebody like that was in college. I met my this dude from Harlem. He was from Uptown. His name was Drew. They call him Drew Stacks, and I guess he was part of the crew. That was the first time where I was like, oh, nah, this dude is really a goon. Like, he would set it off on anyone. Like, no questions asked. Like, you walked into a place, and you was like, yo, that dude was talking about me. He was like, no problem. Walk over there, swing on him. Boom. No questions asked. That was the first time where I was like, yeah, I need somebody like that.
Syfe, you don't ever have Big Kev?
Not no more, nah.
Oh, Syfe had security.
Man, nah, he wasn't security. Now, Kev was never security.
Well, he was your manager?
Kev was my road manager. But Kev would knock somebody out. But he was never security. Never.
But don't Charlamagne got the dude. Let's not talk
about him.
Yeah. No, he's got a dude.
That dude is awesome. Cool as shit. But
I don't have one of those.
Love, you ever see?
Yo, sometimes like I be listening to stories. Like I like listening like to like Fat Joe. And them tell stories about like back in the day when they used to run up in the tunnel. And I feel like, yo, I want that. I want to run up in the cellar.
In the tunnel like that. Days was like Jimmy's Bronx Cafe and Club Exit. That's when it.
Yeah, but he said he used to be in the tunnel with Big Pun.
He was in the tunnel for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Big Pun was definitely in the tunnel. Big Pun performed in the tunnel. But the real Terror Squad days was like when those Spanish clubs started to pop off. That's when they were like in there like 50 deep. Like, it was crazy.
You know what's funny? Because I love Fat Joe. Like I obviously like his music, but I've grown to love him even more from just hearing him speak. I think he's like a funny ass dude. Like just the way he speaks, like when he does the thing. But I remember I was watching like a Fat Joe interview with like this girl who she was like around my age too. But like a lot of people don't know because he doesn't seem like some gangster. Like he seems like a lovable dude. Like he don't seem like a dude. And I had to tell her, I was like, nah, these dudes was crazy.
Here's the thing, it's funny that we're talking about this. Most real gangsters, the real ones, are lovable.
True.
Because they have no front. Yeah. Right? They not fronting for nobody. Yeah. They're good people. Yeah. Mano, dudes like that. Like, they are good people, but they don't take no shit. Where like the guys who yap loud, all in your face, da 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 da. Not saying they're not gonna do nothing because they might be stupid, but they're covering something.
Remember this though.
Here's my thing.
We're at the age of 14. I was already knocking off punk. Oh, yeah. The songs was scared to death. Every time I walk by, I hear the niggas take their last breath.
Right. Hey, guys, you know what we should do? Let's we're going to leave the live now, and everyone who wants to listen, go jump on the Patreon when you're hearing this. We're going to hang out with Ian a little bit more. I want to play music, Ian, because I heard you mention this in a comedy in a bit you did, and also it's true of me. I want to play some of the songs that give you that feeling of wanting to run up in the cellar and pistol whip everybody.
Smack everybody.
Yeah. So we're going to, we're going to play some smack your face bangers.
I go down the Vlad rabbit hole for too long. I'll spend 4 hours watching Vlad interview these gangsters. And then I think like, yo, this is who I need to be.
Hey, yo, why this fucking hummus is cold, son? I'm about to smack the shit out you.
Right. I'm like, this is who I need to be. And here's my thing. Like, I don't understand why every rapper, because I watch, like, all the interviews. Like, every rapper says that every other rapper is fake. And I'm like, somebody got to be real.
I say the same thing. Like, if everybody is selling coke, who's buying it?
It's a great point.
Right.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's O-S-E-A Malibu.com, code SUMMER.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.